Well, thank you to Pastor Tim and to Barb for already leading us thus far in worship. Barb, thank you for that song. Maybe some of you recognize it, Let There Be Peace on Earth, Let It Begin With Me. Certainly a fitting song as maybe we're thinking of what's going on in the world, but I think also a fitting lead into our text as we think about the disciples caught up in another one of these storms on the sea and the waves going about. And of course, we'll see how the Lord brings some peace to that situation. And of course, our ultimate hope for peace, for rightness in this world, rests with the Lord. And that's our continued hope, our continued prayer as we look to Him. So I invite you to turn with me to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. Verses 22 to 33 tonight is what we'll be considering. Pastor Tim and I were just joking before coming up here. He said, if you read that bulletin announcement, you would have seen, it says, you know, tonight's message, Pastor Dan walking on water. I said, if everybody read that literally, there might have been a bigger crowd here tonight. It's more punctuation maybe matters, right? But no, I will not be doing that. As we also joked, the song right after this, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, would be a good buy in with that as well. But we'll be talking about Peter's experience with that along with the Lord as we consider, we started this last week, thinking together about Peter's own journey of discipleship and so many stories that highlight the ups and downs of his journey with the Lord and following him and how much of that we can relate to and think about in our own lives. And so we'll continue that this evening with this story. And as we're thinking about tonight, I want one particular image to maybe sit with us as we're going through all this, and especially when we get to Peter's part, walking out there on the water. And that's thinking of this, that in this world, as long as we're walking this earth, disciples of Jesus are a mixture of belief and unbelief. We can grow in this, we can sometimes go the other way in this, but we're always this mixture. And so I wanted to have an image before you, and so I was concocting some things this afternoon. It didn't quite settle as much as I hoped, but you probably get the idea there. A little balsamic vinaigrette there. And you know how this works, right? The oil and the vinegar tend to separate there. And I think sometimes in our lives as we're going along, especially when things are pretty calm and we're just kind of sitting there in the fridge, as it were, in a comfortable place, we can kind of separate these two things out in our life pretty well. I can keep my unbelief. I might know it's there, but I can kind of keep it in its place. And I can keep my faith pretty prominent. But we know what happens in this story, and maybe you see where this is going, right? When the waves of the world, the wind kicks up, what happens is, of course, we become more of that mixture. And it's really hard to tell where our belief begins and ends and where the unbelief kicks in, right? It becomes such a, sometimes a mess, right? As we're going through these storms and these winds and these waves. And we do have to face that reality every day in our lives. We're this mixture of belief and unbelief. We see it in Peter. It's no different for any of us if you looked across the aisles at each other. This is why we need Jesus and we come to him. So I'm gonna keep this maybe over here so you can see it. Keep it in mind as we go through this text as well. And really the contest we're seeing here as we think about being that mixture is this. The waves of the world, the winds of the world, against the word of the Lord. So if you could permit me one of my rhymes, right? The ways of this world would make us doubt, but the Lord, word of the Lord would make us stout. Right? That's really the contest here. Where are we trusting? What are we really looking at? The winds and waves of the world or the Lord and his word to us? So let's enter into that word, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. This is God's word to us this evening. Immediately, this is following the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side of the lake, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost!" they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's let that sink in for a moment. It's a powerful word, again, from the Lord, powerful story to think about together. Again, we have that image before us, thinking about following Jesus and us being all this mixture of belief, of faith, and of unbelief, of doubt at times, especially when those waves come up. I just want to notice the first thing we see in this text. I mentioned some of the context there. What's going on in this gospel is recorded in much the same sequence in the Gospel of Mark as well. What happens is word comes to Jesus that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded by Herod. And you maybe remember that story and what's gone on. And there's this idea right away that Jesus and his disciples are going to get away for a little time of solitude and prayer. But that doesn't happen because the crowd is there and they see Jesus and they want to be near Jesus. And Jesus accommodates that and he's teaching them. And as the day goes on, they are hungry and Jesus says, we need to feed them. And eventually, through the work of Christ, that crowd of 5,000 plus is fed. But Jesus still is feeling this need to have some time in prayer. And so he sends the disciples on ahead while he goes on the shore to pray. And it's easy to pass over that and get quickly to the story where the wind and the waves are coming up and this very exciting moment of Jesus walking on the water and calling Peter out. But we need to stop, I think, and remember this moment of Jesus praying there on the mountainside. And think about that for our lives as well. As we're thinking about wind and waves and news of the world and news of our lives and all these things that toss us about, how important prayer is for us, given to us as a weapon to combat these things. I believe we see Jesus doing that very thing in his own life, even as the Son of God, as he receives this news about John and other times in his ministry, particularly as he's about to go to the cross, where do we see him? In prayer to his Father. Because in prayer with the Lord, those waves, that wind, is stilled. I don't think I'm saying anything you're not aware of in your life either. As you've turned to the Lord in prayer, how he works through that to calm us, to assure us of his presence, to remind us of a great many promises he said to us. If our Lord Jesus Christ does this, certainly we need to be doing it as well. So before we get to all the excitement of this story and all the things we'll talk about, let's not miss this important moment at the outset and how Jesus gives to us and shows to us this important weapon we have every day at our disposal, the weapon of prayer, to be combating all these things that would harass us, would trouble us in this world. Well, as the Lord is praying, he sends his disciples out in the boat. Go ahead of me, he says to them. And so that's exactly what they do. The next report we get is that they are being harassed. It's really the word there, by the wind and by the waves. They're being held up. They're being buffeted by them. As I reflected on that, I noticed, boy, you know, the disciples, why do they deserve that? You know, Jesus told them to go out into the lake. They're just doing what he told them to do. And I reflected on that, and I thought to myself that I got one slide ahead of me there. I see that. So, sorry about that. I got too far ahead of my clicking there. But this is what I wanted to say now, that the waves of the Lord harass us even when we're listening to the Lord. Right? Even when the disciples here obey Jesus, it doesn't give them a nice soft night out on the lake, on the sea. They still face these waves. They still face these trials. They still face this trouble that comes up. Sometimes we might think that trouble only comes when we are not following Jesus' way in the world. And certainly at times the waves come about because of our disobedience. I can tell you about times in my own life when I've heard the word of the Lord, seen his will, and said, well, I'm going to go this way. And yeah, there was waves that came because of that. There was wind. There was trouble. But it's not always the case. Sometimes the waves come even as we are being obedient to the Lord, sometimes even because we are being obedient to the Lord. Right? There is persecution that comes because the enemy, right, in this world, he is not liking when we're following the Lord's ways. And so there can become waves and winds that harass us, that buffet us, trials in this life, trouble that we face, even when we are listening to the Lord. As so much of Scripture points out to us, this is the way of this world. There's going to be trials. There's going to be some sufferings. Right? Jesus has gone through them, so certainly too do his disciples. As the disciples are out there being troubled by these winds and these waves, Jesus comes to them. And it's a striking moment, right, to picture, even to try and picture Jesus coming out to them on the waves, coming out to them walking on the sea. And there's so many passages throughout Scripture which point out that this is only something that God himself can do. All right, so many passages which talk about the Lord commanding the sea, or even in Job 9, being able to walk on the sea, right? And so this picture of who Jesus is that we'll see at the end of the text is coming to fruition. But I wanted to note here that the Lord comes to his people in need. He comes to his people in need, and he seeks to meet that need through his presence and through his word. This is how God works. It's really the whole mission of Jesus, right? God sends his son, comes to us, sends the word, became flesh, in order to meet our human needs. Of course, our greatest need, dealing with sin, dealing with death. We can see it here in the text. We just saw it if we went back to the story before in the feeding of the 5,000, how Jesus works there to meet the needs, that time the physical needs of the people that were gathered around. Here we're seeing it in much more of a spiritual kind of sense. So there's certainly a physical trouble as well, as there's danger as they're out in the sea on this boat with the waves rocking them. But the Lord seeks to meet his people through his word. And did you hear the word that Jesus speaks here? So simple. Just, he says basically three words in the Greek. But I think words that we could hear spoken to us, and we would do well to hear spoken to us no matter what we're going through in our lives. Jesus says, courage. I am. Don't be afraid. Courage. I am. Don't be afraid. Think about that, that word coming to you maybe in your life right now. Right, it could come to you in the midst of physical suffering and illness and disease, and Jesus says, courage, I am, don't be afraid. It could be as you look at the news of the world going on and war in Europe and all kinds of unrest and what's going to happen, and Jesus comes to us and says, courage, I am, don't be afraid. It could be as you're dealing with challenges in relationships or a changing job description or a loss of a job. It could be as you're dealing with trouble at school and wondering about what's next. And again, Jesus would say, courage, I am. Don't be afraid. The word of the Lord comes to us. The Lord himself comes to us to meet us in our needs. And I just want to note how powerful God's word to us. Again, this is all summed up in Jesus himself, right? The living word. But God's word is performative. In other words, the Lord's word does and gives what it says. In other words, in this text here, when Jesus says, courage, just by saying it, he actually gives courage to his disciples. When he says, I am, it's I. He actually communicates his presence to them. When he says, don't be afraid, that actually calms our fears. It's not just empty words out there. It actually does what it says. Drew me back to Isaiah 55, a passage that our discernment team's been calling us to reflect and spend some time on a couple of weeks ago. And that word in that chapter of verses 10 and 11 talks about the Lord's word. And he says to us how he sends that out. And when he sends it out, it won't return to him without effect, without achieving what he set it out to accomplish. Right? The Lord's word does what it says. It is performative. So when Jesus says, courage, I am, don't be afraid, it has immediate impact. The same impact as Jesus reaching out and grabbing Peter, as we see visually and physically in this text. And it's meant to bolster us up, again, as we are faced with the sight of wind and waves in our lives, to say, don't look at them. Look at the Lord's word. Look at Jesus. Right? Listen to him. Trust in him, because his word is effective. Eventually, all these waves, all these winds, they pass out. They're done. The word of the Lord endures and continues to go forward. So Jesus brings that word in the midst of the storm to his disciples. Then he brings it to us in the midst of the storms of our world and our lives again today as well. Well, then we get to the second half of the story, really, as it were. And this is where Peter himself takes more of a center stage, as it were. Before we get to Peter's step of faith here with Jesus and then his struggles in that step, just want to note that Jesus makes it possible for us to exercise faith in him. Right? Notice that Jesus first comes and speaks that word. And then we see Peter stepping out in faith. Right? It's the same for us. We can't get ahead of ourselves and think that we can do this on our own. Right? We can't trick ourselves into thinking, oh, you know, things are going pretty well. You know, I'm pretty strong by myself in my faith. No, again, we're all this mixture of belief and unbelief. We don't have any faith without Jesus, without his work for us, without his first coming to us. But when he does, faith is possible. And because he does, incredible things are possible as we follow him in faith. And we see that here with Peter. Again, the text describes this so simply. I can't imagine what this scene must have looked like, even for the other disciples as they're seeing Peter say this to the Lord, and the Lord say it to him, and him starting to climb out of the boat. What must have been going through their minds? Peter says, Lord, if it's you, right? Remember, the disciples are kind of confused here, understandably, as they see Jesus walking on the water. They think maybe they're seeing things or what's going on. If it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. Essentially, follow me out here. And Peter does. He gets down out of the boat. He walks on the water and goes toward Jesus. What an incredible moment of faith that is happening here. But it seems to last but a moment. Right? When he sees the wind and the waves, he's afraid. And he starts to sink, of course, and then he cries out for the Lord to save, and he does. But we're seeing here that picture of all of us. Right? We're seeing this mixture that through faith in Christ, right, anything's possible for us. Peter is out there walking on the water, as we'll see later in the book of Acts. Right? God is doing amazing things through his disciples as they're stepping out in faith in Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, it seems nothing is possible because of our human weakness. As soon as Peter sees that wind, that waves, he starts to get afraid and down he goes. I can relate to Peter. I wonder if you can as well. Right, some moments as we're following Jesus, it seems like God can do anything. Anything is possible as we follow him. And I hope you've had those moments and you could share stories of saying, when I trusted the Lord, this is what happened. You wouldn't hardly believe it, but this is where he led. This is what he did. This is how he provided. Sometimes, almost in the same day, we can say, but then there was this. And I didn't trust the Lord. And I got scared. And I thought about this. And I tried to do it on my own. And I sunk. And I went down. What happens to Peter here is not an unusual story of discipleship, of following Jesus. Again, it's really all of our stories. We have these ups and these downs. And the reminder here, of course, behind all of this is we need Jesus. This is why we need a Savior. We cannot do it. We would never do it on our own. And even after we know Jesus, we still stumble. We still fall. We still struggle in our human weakness. We still have these thorns in the flesh, as it were. But Jesus has come for this purpose. He knows us full well. All of our weaknesses, all of our struggles, all of it. But he's still come. He has still come to save us. He has still come to give us new life because he loves us and he knows there's no other way that we could be united with him as God's children. And so we take courage in that. We take strength in that, not in ourselves. And that's why it's so important for us to stay focused on Jesus. You think about what happens in the text. You kind of picture Peter looking at Jesus and walking out, and then he does this, and then he's in trouble. Right? How true that is in our lives. We need to stay focused on Jesus, right? To fix our eyes on him. That image made me think of playing baseball. A lot of you know I did that for many years going back to my college days and thinking about hitting a ball. And I love that moment of being in the batter's box and having that kind of one-on-one competition with the pitcher there. And of course, you want it to be focused, fixed on the baseball that was coming to you. But I can tell you how many things, you'd be surprised, could distract you from doing that in that moment. Right? I remember sometimes people would be heckling you from the crowd, and you can hear that. What are they saying there? Sometimes there might be things going on in the scenery outside. Sometimes you might be thinking about the class you had coming up, the test you had coming up that day, or maybe it was things going on in your life. And you can imagine how hitting the ball went in those moments. Usually not well. But I can tell you of other times when I was really fixed on the ball in those moments. I can even vividly still picture that time when I was really focused and really channeled in, and usually it worked out really well. You could hit the ball and you square it up and you hit it hard wherever you're trying to hit it. It's a crude example, of course, when we're talking about discipleship, but it connects. Right? We need to be fixed on Jesus, fixed on him in our faith. Because although we are imperfect, we're this mixture of belief and unbelief, Jesus is the one who strengthens our faith. Remember that story when the man came to Jesus and had a child who was ill, and Jesus, if you can, would you heal him? Jesus says, if I can. Anything's possible for the one who believes. That man utters a very honest, poignant line. He says, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. What a great line. What a great prayer. Lord, we do believe. Help us with our unbelief. Help us keep fixed on you in our lives. Maybe as we're using that expression, you're drawn to the words of Hebrews 12. It's a good place to go. Hebrews 11 is all about faith. Right? All these faithful disciples who have gone before. And then it comes to chapter 12. Since we have this great cloud of witnesses who have gone before, let's run this race marked out before us with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, and the perfecter of our faith. I can't build up my own faith. I can't create it in the first place. But when we're looking at Jesus, we're focused on him, and then we're not looking around the wind and the waves and all the trouble or our own achievements or whatever it might be. Jesus will strengthen us. Right? We'll be able to walk out to him in that way. He is the pioneer. He's the author. He's the perfecter of our faith. We need to keep looking to him. The good news in this text as well is that even when Peter stumbles, right, even when he looks away and looks at all the trouble, Jesus is right there when Peter calls out. Right? Lord, help me. Lord, save me, he cries out. And you notice the immediately's in this text. Twice. Immediately, when they're afraid, it's a ghost, Jesus speaks to them his word of encouragement. And again, immediately, when Peter cries out, Jesus grabs him. And I wanted to note the order here, that Jesus saves Peter first. He rescues him. And then, only after he saves him, does he challenge him? Does he rebuke him? Does he scold him? However you want to put that. Right? Jesus rescues, and then he says, let's go forward. How can you strengthen your faith, right? You of little faith, he says, why did you doubt? I'm right here. You were looking at me. Why did you look away? Why did you get afraid? And Jesus knows, again, our human weakness. He knows our struggle. But remember that as you go through your life as well, as you would follow Jesus, be one of his disciples. When those moments of a failure come, and they will come, as we cry out to the Lord, he is right there to pull us back up. And yes, he's going to challenge us. And we need that challenge. Why was your faith so small? Haven't you seen me here before? Haven't you heard my promises? Haven't you seen how far I've gone for you? I died for you. I conquered death for you. All right, we need that reminder. We need that challenge. But Jesus does that after he's pulled us up. Right, as our rescuer, as our Savior, to encourage us again on the path as we walk through this world to follow him. So again, be encouraged, because these moments will come, and sometimes, I'm prone to it too, we can get really down on ourselves and beat ourselves up. And yes, we need to understand when we are mistaken and when we're walking not in faith. But Jesus is there for this reason, to rescue us from ourselves and to strengthen us again for this journey of following him. I'm sure you noted as well that as Jesus and Peter now get back into the boat, what happens to the storm? You remember the other story, of course, with Jesus and the storm, how he spoke and the wind and the waves died down. Here, Jesus doesn't even say anything. It's like he just comes and he goes into the boat and the wind and the waves say, okay, we know who's here. It's our master. It's the Lord. And they're done. Right? Jesus gets in the boat, and again, you can imagine the scene as the disciples, who have seen a lot, mind you, they've just seen this miraculous feeding, and yet here again, they're in awe. As they should be. And they fall down and they worship the Lord. Truly, you are the Son of God, they say. It's an amazing confession. It's a right confession. And it reminds us of what we are always pointed back to as Jesus' disciples. In the end, we worship Jesus. That's what disciples do. Because he is the word of life, the word that comes against these waves and these winds to calm them down, to give us new life. So as we go through our lives and we experience these ups and downs and we see the faithful one, our Savior Jesus Christ, pick us up and lead us forward again, we worship him. Because he's the one who creates this possibility that we could be his disciples, that we could follow him, that we could see the display of his power, that we could see even new possibilities in our life now and certainly look forward to them for all eternity. So what we're doing tonight together is fitting for disciples of Jesus. As we go on to this week, what's fitting for us is always to be worshiping Jesus, to be praising him, to be in awe of him because of who he is and all that he's done, all that he continues to do for us. As you have this story in mind and think of yourself here as this mixture still in this broken world, just a couple questions to ponder. What are the waves, the winds that are harassing you right now? I'm sure there's a wind or two that you're dealing with in your life. And of course, the enemy would have you looking over at them, focused on them, seeing nothing but them. But it helps to name them sometimes. To name them in prayer, to write them down, whatever it might be. Maybe right now, you just want to write those winds, those waves down. What are they? And then what word do you need to hear from the Lord? He speaks a lot to us. We have this incredible gift that God's given to us. What word do you need to hear? Maybe you need to go into the Lord's word this week and be searching that out with him. The promise he would speak, the encouragement he would speak, the peace he would speak. Maybe you've already heard it this evening as we share together. But we need to exchange with the Lord in this way and wrestle with him that we can keep our eyes fixed on our Lord and Savior who flattens the winds and the waves and walks through us, through all of them as we go through this life, seeking to follow him as his disciples. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your word which is effective and powerful, your word which is all summed up in your Son, Jesus Christ. As we see in his work, it's effective, it's powerful. He does what he came here to do, to bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to renew, to reclaim all of us, your lost children. Lord, we thank you for that word and pray it would go into us deeply tonight through your Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, we know the reality that there's lots of things that would distract us from that. There's lots of waves and winds that buffet us, that harass us, that toss us about. And, Lord, we're just creatures, human beings. We deal with our weaknesses, our limitations. We need you. Lord, empower us through your Spirit to keep looking to you and at you in faith. Keep encouraging us as we stumble that you are there to pick us up, to call us forward in the path once more, and to give us even more of your strength for it. And Lord, help us to be encouraging each other as a body, your body of believers, as we walk these paths together, following many who have gone before us. Lord, many you have already called home. Lord, help us to keep that great hope before us as well, that we are walking in the sure path as we are walking in your way. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.